there's a story that is making the rounds. I will not testify as to its accuracy or not, but it is concerning a dear saintly sister in one of our churches who was in the habit of saying amen and praise the Lord when the minister made an especially good point. And they got a minister that didn't like this amen and praise the Lord. So he visited this dear sister in her home and talked with her, and he explained the situation. And he said, "Now, sister, I see that you're a widow and by yourself. And if you'll promise me that you won't say amen or praise the Lord, said I'll buy you enough wood to last you the winter." Well, the sister thought the thing over, and she realized her great need, and she said, "Well, pastor, I'll try to control myself." And so several Sabbaths passed by, and it seemed like the minister just preached better and better, and she couldn't hardly stand it. And so finally one Sabbath, when he was really getting down to business and really telling the good news, this dear sister jumped up in the middle of the sermon in the congregation and said, "Wood or no wood, praise the Lord, pastor." So I won't testify to that accuracy, but if pastor visits you and offers you anything, don't take him up on his offer. Just say amen. Let me tell you, there's two ways that we can treat our ministers. A lot of churches have ministers they don't like. And wherever I go, I tell them, pray for them and say amen to their sermon. And a lot of churches have ministers that they dearly love. And I say, pray for them and say amen to their sermon. If you don't like your pastor, saints, if you'll really pray for him, God will pour the Holy Ghost out on him, and he'll get so good to either preach himself to death or the conference will move him to a better church. So, if you don't like your pastor, you begin to pray for him, and God will do things for him. We face a task that we think is impossible. How can we warn the world of the soon return of Jesus with only 3 million of us worldwide? How can we do it? Dear friends, we cannot, but God is going to do the work. I get all these different charismatic magazines so I can keep up with what's going on. And the September issue of the magazine called The Church of God, put out by The Church of God, came. And I began to open it and leaf through it to see if there was anything in there that was especially interesting to me. And here I turn to page 7, and here's an article on Reason and Faith by Elder Robert H. Pearson. Anybody ever heard of Robert H. Pearson? And it goes on to say, Robert H. Pearson is president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, and a sermon by him in the Charismatic magazine. Dear saints, that's how God's going to finish the message. One of the ways. Who knows who will open this magazine and read this article, and God will begin to show light to them. And there may be people in the kingdom, and they'll come up to Elder Pearson and they'll say, "You know, I read your article in our magazine, and God convinced my heart, and I'm here today because of it." God's going to work in ways that we know not of, in ways that will surprise us. Now, I promised those of you that was here this afternoon that I was going to have a little thing of singing in tongues, and I hope you can understand this. Maybe I better hold it up if the cord is long enough to get it up here to the microphone. Now, this is, give you a little background of this. It's a song service in a Pentecostal church. And this is a 45-minute song service. They sing the same song over and over, one verse of the same song for 45 minutes. Middle ways, they go into this business here. And if you listen real careful, you can hear music in the background. Now, this is a piano and an organ and several other types of musical instruments. And people are playing them, but nobody is playing anything out of a book. They're just sitting up there and going bang, 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 bang. Now, that's called playing in the spirit. You know, when you just bang, 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 and it's beautiful music. And so don't go away and say, if you want to go away, you can say you heard tongues in the Adventist church. Let me see, how do you turn this thing on? Oh, pause.
Hallelujah.
Can you hear this all right?
Hallelujah. We rejoice in your presence, O Lord. We rejoice, rejoice as we come into your presence. We rejoice as we come into your presence.
That's so that you can understand. I'm sure that all of you, all during the service, we will be wanting to send up silent prayers on behalf of this family and this situation. Saints, we don't know how close the end of time is. I'm so glad that God has veiled it from us. If we knew exactly what tomorrow held, we would literally tremble in our shoes. And the only answer that I can say is be ready today. If you brought your Bibles again with me, turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Romans 8:26. As we come to the last of our meetings, I never like to come to the last because you always have to say goodbye. And the majority of the people that you speak to, you will never see again here. But we do have this assurance that if we are born again Christians, that when Jesus comes, we will be together for eternity with no parting. And you know, I daydream a lot of times about the Sabbath gatherings in heaven. Oh, I love the Sabbath down here. You know, just the opportunity to be with God's people. And when Sunday comes, I start looking forward to Sabbath next week. But oh, what about the Sabbath in heaven? Oh, we can, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither does it enter into the heart of man, the joys that await on us up there. You know, we tell each other down in Baxley that God has got a special street in the New Jerusalem so that all of us that are members of the Baxley Church, we can all live on the same street and be together, you know, and never separated. And other people have, you know, similar ideas. Some of you may have entertained that you can be together forever and ever and ever, right on through eternity. And the friendships will just grow in strength and blossom. So I never say goodbye as a final statement when I come to the last meeting. I'll just say, I'll see you after a while. Romans 8:26, as we consider the topics tonight, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying with the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, and how appropriate this text is in this situation. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. As we stop and let our minds comprehend the statements that God has erected down here in this earth, a throne of grace, a mercy seat around which everybody can come, the helpless, the friendless, the burdened, the vile, the guilty, all is welcome there. And that no one, no matter how great his poverty is, no matter how heavy the burden that he bears, no matter how desperate the situation is, that God has erected a place that all are welcome, that nobody will be refused, but everybody will be welcome. This is almost unbelievable to think that we have a God like that that's appointed such a meeting place, such a chamber, that when every door is closed in our face, this door is always open and we're welcome to come in. And we can even go a step further. It's even more wonderful when we consider that the door to that place of mercy, the door to the throne where we can have access all the time, that God has appointed Jesus as the door to the throne. That God has given His only begotten Son to be the new and living way. And that we can come through Jesus to this place, this mercy seat. All obstruction that keep us from coming moved away. And can we even go further than that? Can we say more concerning the love of God? Yes, we can. Because He's not only put a place where we can go to pray, He's not only made Jesus the door to that place, but there's even a greater depth in the love of God. He has sent His Holy Spirit into our lives. The Spirit, the text tells us, the author of prayer. The Holy Spirit that can take what we cannot put into words, and He can put it into words. The Holy Spirit that breathes in our life and gives us new hope and new joy and new desire to serve the Lord. The Holy Spirit that puts the desire there in the first place to serve Jesus. The Holy Spirit that convicts us of our needs. The Holy Spirit that opens up the character of God and shows us what a wonderful Lord we serve. The Holy Spirit that takes that little seed of faith that we have down there and He waters it and He nurtures it. And it grows and it grows. And then He takes that faith and He brings it up toward God. And He lives within us, the author of prayer. What a gracious work. We have to be aware that all true prayer is done by the leading of the Spirit. We cannot pray unless the Spirit leads us to prayer. He's the author of prayer. May I say, saints, that prayer is one of the most spiritual things that you can do, is pray. It is the act that brings us into contact with God. Prayer shows us more of God and reveals more of God to us than anything else in this world. Prayer. It brings us and God together just like that. Prayer, when we go to it in the right way, it's the state of mind that acknowledges that we have nothing. We're totally dependent on Him. All we can do is hang ourselves on God. So therefore, prayer has to be a highly spiritual and a holy exercise. And as our text says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He helps us. We can even go further and say that true prayer is the breath of God that is given in our lives. It's just a refreshing wind that comes from heaven. True prayer is not only the breath of God coming toward us, but true prayer is our feeble cries and our feeble pleas going up toward God, turning to the only one that can help us in the hour of need with our weakness, our terrible needs. And when we go to God in true prayer in our secret closet places, and we begin to pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prays in us and through us and for us and with us, and it enables us to pour out everything that's in our heart to God. In other words, as I said, prayer is us and God coming together just like that and becoming one. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for, what we should pray for as we ought. Now, when we realize that on such a subject, so deeply involving the happiness and holiness of God, this subject is the most important thing. The subject of prayer and the attitude of prayer and the act of prayer is one of the most holy things that you can do, and the devil knows it. And he wants to hinder you from praying. And he will bring some of his most wicked tricks into this. And so before we go in tonight finding out how the Spirit helps us to pray and what really praying in the Spirit is, let's just look at three or four maybe of the things that can hinder us from praying and that can keep us from having our prayers answered like we ought to. Perhaps one of the first problems that confronts anybody when they go to prayer is we can't comprehend what God is. We don't know how He come to be. We don't know nothing about the nature of God. We read in the Word of God that He's a Spirit. And that just shatters us, so to speak. It blows our minds. God's a Spirit. How in the world can I pray to somebody like that? And I can't comprehend what He is, how He exists, or nothing about Him. And so we just fail to pray. There's a remedy for this state of mind. And it's simple and scriptural. When we go to prayer, how are we to think about God? What kind of picture of God are we to hold in our minds? What kind of picture should be there as we pray? There's two things that are necessary. First of all, to have the right attitude in prayer, we've got to concentrate on the character of God. The character of God. The way God relates to us and not how He exists is what must be in our minds. We must think about His holiness and His justice and His love and His mercy. We must think about what God is, love and mercy and all these things. And the second thing that will help us to pray is whenever, if we desire to see God in prayer, we must look at Jesus. We must look at Jesus. When we look at Jesus, Jesus says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so therefore, we don't have to bother our minds about how God exists and if He's made up of atoms or if He has a body with hands and arms and legs and feet and eyes and nose. We just have to look at Jesus and we can see what God is like. Look at how Jesus lived and what He did and the mercy and the love and the tenderness. We're told that Jesus is the image of God. And then when we look at Jesus, all we're seeing is God. We see what He's like. So when we go to prayer, let's not worry about how we can pray and what God is like, but let's just look at Jesus. fasten our eyes on Him. We can't understand about the spiritual nature of God, but we can look at Jesus. And saints, if you want to pray in the Spirit, you start looking at Jesus. You fasten your mind upon Jesus. You think about how much He loved you. You think about the suffering that He went through, the agony and the pain, all for you. And then your heart and your spirit can be made ready for prayer. And it becomes easier because you're praying to a friend and you're talking to a friend. You know, I love that statement from Steps to Christ concerning prayer. Put it into my own words. She says, prayer to God is the same as opening the heart to a friend. Oh, how beautiful that is. You know, we sit down with our friends and we don't call them Mr. So-and-so and thee and thou. We just talk face-to-face, man-to-man, you know, and we're on good relationships. And when we talk to God, it should be the same way. We don't have to put a lot of these and thous and our dear Heavenly Father who dwelleth in the high and the holies. Just talk to Him and say, now, Father, this is Jimmy talking. That's the way I pray a lot of times. I say, God, You know who I am, and I just tell Him my needs. Just talk to Him just like He was right there and I was looking at Him in the eye. And it brings Him right down, and the blessed Holy Spirit helps me to pray in the Spirit. So, let's not worry about the nature of God. Let's look at Jesus. A lot of times, things that will hinder us from praying in the Spirit is we don't have the right type of wisdom. And I'm going to pick on the Apostle Paul. You know, he prayed 3 times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed. And saints, do you realize that the apostle was asking God for something that wasn't in His will? It was not the will of God to remove the thorn from Paul's flesh. The Lord knew what was best for the servant Paul. He knew that Paul needed something to keep him humble. So saints, even apostles can pray prayers that don't have the right type of wisdom in them. Even apostles can ask God for things that He has to refuse sometimes. A lot of times, dear saints, after we've prayed for something and God has not seen fit to give it to us, if He sees fit to do like to us like He did the Apostle Paul, keep the affliction there, and we're bound down by this affliction, and we submit to the will of God, after God sees that we're humble and willing to submit, sometimes He will then answer our prayer. Sometimes He will then move and lift that burden. But sometimes I think that God's hand has to be put on us to keep us from ourselves. You know, boy, I'm a nice fella. I can get this attitude, and it would be very easy for any minister to fall in this same attitude. You know, everywhere I travel, people really like me. Therefore, I must be a pretty good fella. But I'm not going to tell you what it is that the Lord has in my life that keeps me humble before Him, but there is a thing. And every time I start to get lifted up, and I start to thinking, well, James Beshires is a pretty nice fellow. Everybody likes him. The Lord just puts His hand and humbles me back down. And I say, Lord, take this thing out of my life sometime. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. You have to have it to keep you from yourself. So we can ask for things that's not in God's will. But I can tell you what, dear friends, when God withholds something that we ask for, He gives us something so much better. He gives us something so much better that if we knew what to ask for in the first place, that's what He would have given us. The Lord, when Paul said, take this thorn out of my flesh, He says, no, Paul, I'm not. I'm going to give you my grace. That's sufficient for you. A lot of times I talk with saints and they say, you know, I prayed. I've got a terrible burden. And I've prayed and I've prayed for God to remove this burden from me. And many of them say, I'm still praying for God to remove this. And He doesn't remove it. And why? As I said, sometimes we can ask for the wrong things. The Lord might look at your life and He says, if I remove that burden from them, if I take that heavy cross away that they're bearing, a door of mercy and blessings will be closed in their life. Because that's the avenue that I bless them through. The cross that you bear, saints, the burden that you have, may be the very reason that some of you are as close to God as you are. Because of the burdens and the sorrows that are on your heart. They keep you humble and walking before God, so to speak. A lot of times, saints say, I prayed for help. Oh, I want to be healthy. I want to be able to do such and such. And is that request denied? Well, it's wisdom that denies. And it's love that denies it too. Dear saints of God, do you think that God would refuse you anything in the world? And when He hears your pitiful, tender cries and prayers, do you think He would refuse to answer that prayer if He knew that it was not for your own good? No, He would not. God will not close the door of opportunity in our life unless it's for the real good and the real glory. There's enough tenderness and there's enough love in the heart of Jesus to grant you everything you ask for and 10,000 more if it was for your own good and for your own benefit and your own blessing. Jesus cannot resist our prayers, our tears, our pleading looks if He didn't know what was best for us. But as I said, He gives us something far better than what we ask for a lot of times. He gives us His self and how precious He is. It's His grace that bears us up. It's His arm that reaches around us and holds us close when our best friend has turned us down and we feel like we're lost and only ones in the world. It's Jesus that puts His arm around us and says, "Child, I still love you, and I'm still there, and I'll still help you." It's Jesus, when our heart is broken, that says, "My love will take care of everything." And even though we do not have everything that we pray for a lot of times, even though our secret closet is not the place of scene of health and joy and happiness, it's the place where Jesus comes and blesses us and be with us. And that's so important. God would heal every person in the world in the twinkling of an eye if it was for their own good. I think what we need to do in a situation where we pray sometimes for things and we don't get the answer is to ask God for a will subject to His. "Not my will, but thine be done, O Father." Sometimes when we learn the lesson that God has for us to learn, He will put forth His hand and answer us. We may think that good health glorifies God, but God may think that our suffering brings Him greater glory. The patience, resignation, and the meek submission which His blessed Spirit through this burden can work out in our lives can bring God a lot of glory. And then the third thing that the devil can hinder us in our prayers, even a child of God may ask for a wise and good thing in a wrong way. We may not have any faith when we pray. We may have the wrong attitude in our mind. We may not glorify God. We may not glorify Jesus. We may not glorify the Holy Spirit. We may not rest in the cross of Christ. We may not plead the blood in the shed blood of Christ. We may not be humble enough. Our spirits may not be broken before the Lord. We may not have reverence. We may not have confessed our sins. We may not acknowledge God's mercy. There can be so many things in the prayer of the child of God that seems to close up the eyes and the ears of God. But dear saints, how thankful I am that we can go to Him in full confidence, with faith, with love. We can go to Him and say, "Lord, I'm a member of the remnant people. Lord, I'm one of the members of the apple of Your eye. Lord, I belong to the garden of Your delight. Lord, I'm one of Your people. Lord, I come to You in the name of Jesus. Lord, I plead the shed blood of Christ. Lord, I come to You confessing my sins." When we come to the Lord in that attitude, there is nothing in this world for our good, saints, that He will withhold from us. Oh, to come to the Lord in full assurance and pleading the blood of Christ. Oh, there's so many ways that we can come to God. And yet again, we can pray the right prayer in the right way, and we may not wait for the Lord to answer in His own time. You know, I used to pray, "Lord," pray a prayer similar to this, "Lord, I want thus and so, and I want it in the next 5 minutes." Most of you have been guilty of the same thing, if you'll be honest. You prayed, and you just sat there waiting for the Lord to lay it on a silver platter and hand it right to you right then and there. And when He didn't hand it to you on a silver platter right then and there, you say, "Well, He didn't think He was going to answer it in the first place." And you get up and... We set time limits. And when that time passes by, we say, "God didn't hear my prayer. God's not going to bless me." Saints, there's such a thing as waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Lamentations 3:26 tells us something about that. I believe that text says it's a good thing for us to wait patiently on the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and I want to let's look that text up. That is a beautiful text. It tells us a little something about that. Ephesians 6:18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance." Pray, we're told by the prophet here, pray in the Spirit, pray and then wait and persevere and believe. And the answer is going to come in God's own time. Yes, we can pray in the right way and then fail to wait. But you know, saints, I think about how long we've made Jesus wait on us. How long we stayed out in sin and made the Lord wait on us. Years we kept Him away. Years we said, not today, but some other time, Lord. Years He waited until the Holy Spirit moved in and took possession. And saints, we cannot wait now 5 minutes on the Lord to hear our prayers when we made Him wait all them years. The answer is going to come to our prayers when the Lord sees best. And you know, a lot of times we can lose the answer to our prayer by telling the Lord how we want it answered. We can say, for instance, Lord, I need 25 pounds of flour, and I want it from the A&P because they have the best brand of flour. And we can pray prayers and tell God how we want them answered. You know, the Lord knows better than we do how to answer our prayers. He's got His own channels already prepared. And we think, well, this is the way that the answer can come. And you know what's so beautiful about this God and what's so beautiful about praying in the Holy Spirit is we can have our minds running in the channel that this is the way the answer is going to come. And when it comes in such a way that will shock us and surprise us and bless us and make our hearts overflow. And we say, thank God He didn't answer the prayer like I wanted. He answered it in a better way. He does that. You know, the Lord loves to do that for us. He loves to surprise us with good things. He loves to shower good gifts on us. I can tell you one thing, saints, that when God sends us the blessing, it'll come in a way that we'll be glad of it. And our hearts will rejoice within us as we see the way that God has moved on our behalf and answered our prayers. The Holy Ghost has many jobs in the world, but there's not one of them that's more blessed to you and I than the job which He fills as intercessor for the saints. I've already told you that all true prayer is put into words by the Spirit. And He's also the author of prayer. Did you know that we're told by God's servant that when we pray our very best, it's feeble, and it's not the type of prayer that should go to heaven? But when we pray our feeble prayers, our stammering prayers, our heartbroken prayers, our tear-filled prayers, and we feel like, oh, I haven't really prayed at all, we're told that the Holy Ghost takes that prayer, feeble and broken as it is, and He polishes it up, and He shines it up, and He puts it in words like it ought to be, and when it gets to heaven, He offers it up to the Father as the most beautiful praise offering and incense offering you would have ever dreamed of. No matter how feeble the prayer you pray is, when it gets to heaven, it's a prayer that glorifies God because the Holy Spirit takes it and puts it into the words that we like for it to be in. Romans 8, our text, 26 and 27. And let's read both those texts again. They are so beautiful. And likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me go into that just a little bit more into detail. We're told by the charismatics that praying with the Spirit is praying in tongues, but that's not it. Praying with the Spirit is praying the type of prayer that the Spirit would have us to pray. And this latter clause is interesting. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I don't know if any of you have ever had the same experience that I've had, but I'm sure that you have. Have you ever entered into your secret closet of prayer and your heart has been so broken and you have been so burdened and your spirit is so heavy laden that you could not utter one word? I have been before the Lord on my knees many times and I could not say one thing. I could not say one thing. But did you know there was a prayer that was going up? It was the Holy Spirit, we're told here, that looks into our hearts and we're so burdened that we cannot pray. He looks in there and He sees that need and He sees what wants we have and the desires. And He takes that need and puts it into words and again presents it to the Father. That's praying in the Spirit, dear saints. When you pray, when you're so burdened and you're so heavy laden, the Spirit makes intercession for you. the groanings that you cannot utter, He puts into good, plain English and presents them to the Father. Ephesians 2:18 tells us a little bit about that too. Ephesians 2:18. For by Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This is the only way to the Father. And let's look to tie in with that, Jude 20. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying by the power of the Holy Ghost. Praying and letting the Holy Ghost take what you're saying and presenting it to the Father. Praying in the Spirit. You know, sometimes we pray prayers that we ourselves don't go any further. No, that we ourselves know don't go any further than the sound of our voice. But then a lot of times, you've had the same experience. You have been possessed by the Spirit of God. And the prayer that you prayed, when you look back on it, you said, my, did I really pray that kind of prayer? Did I do that? That's praying in the Holy Ghost. I never will forget one Sabbath when we were having communion. Packed out church. And one of the elders knelt to pray over the blessing, over the blood, over the wine. Not an eloquent man at all. One who does not really know good English. But as that man began to pray, as that man began to tell the Lord the needs of the congregation and what we were approaching, there was a spirit that went out from him, the spirit of prayer over that whole congregation. And you begin to hear sobs on the left and sobs on the right. This man was praying in the Holy Ghost, you see. And God was doing the work there because there were people on the left whose hearts were not right and ready to receive the communion. And there were people on the right whose hearts were not right and ready to receive the communion. And this dear saintly elder, praying his feeble prayer, was possessed by the Holy Spirit. And that prayer went up and the Holy Spirit went out and people got up and made confessions. And they said, the prayer that that man prayed broke my heart. That's praying in the Holy Spirit, dear saints. Let's look at two or three points that helps us to know what praying in the Spirit is all about. Saints, it's the Spirit of God who teaches us to know what we need. We don't know what we need. We have no idea of our real needs. The Holy Ghost can tell us our real needs. First of all, the Holy Ghost comes in our lives and He can fix us of sin. And then in every stage of our existence, He convicts us of sin. In my own personal experience, after becoming an Adventist, there was some things that I thought, well, it's not wrong to do these things. And you know, the Holy Spirit that was working in my heart and in my life said, James, it's wrong. James, it's wrong. And as I laid it aside and moved up to a higher experience, the Holy Ghost said, James, you ought not to do this. James, you ought not to do this. The Holy Ghost convicts us of our daily needs. He convicts us of our spiritual needs. And if our hearts is open to Him, He tells us we need to move up closer and have a closer walk with the Lord and have more of the power of God. He tells us these things. We don't know what we need. The Holy Ghost tells you what you need. And then He helps you to pray and ask Jesus to give it to you. We should not overlook this important part of the throne of grace, of the part of the work of the Holy Spirit. To go to prayer, to go to the throne of grace, we've got to have something to go there for. Some errand to take us there, some sin to confess, some guilt to mourn over, some need to have met. And we must not forget this, as we so often do. We must have some blessing to thank God for. So many times God pours out His blessings in our life and we get up and we go away and we take it for granted. And we don't never stop and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what You've done for us. Some errand to take us to the throne of grace. And how is this brought about? It's brought about by the Holy Spirit telling us what we need to pray for. Because our text in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Thank God! What a blessing it is that we have a person who not only lives here and tells us what our need is, but He also goes to heaven and He pleads up there on our behalf. A person so near that He lives within us and He awakens our conscience and He draws out our heart in confession, and yet He goes up there and He pleads our case before the Father and He says, this is the need they have. The Holy Ghost teaches us to plead the atoning blood of Christ. We look at the sins we've committed and they seem like a mountain. And we look at the unbelief that's in our heart and it suppresses us. And we look at our own lives and we know we're not worthy to come before the throne of grace. And the Holy Spirit says, the shed blood of Jesus makes it all right. No matter how great the sin, no matter how much unbelief, no matter how unworthy you are, the shed blood makes it all right. The Holy Spirit tells us this. He helps us to understand there's power in the blood of Jesus. And there is. When we feel so low down, the Holy Spirit says, child, look at Jesus. Child, look at Jesus. Take your eyes off of self. Look at Jesus who sacrificed everything that He had. Look at the blood of Christ. And saints, that blood of Christ pleads louder for mercy than our sins does for condemnation. It pleads louder. The Holy Spirit takes Christ's righteousness and it brings it to us. And He places it around us. And He says, you're not fit to stand in the throne room of God. But with the righteousness of Christ, you're a child of the King and you can go in and demand the child's rights. How thankful I am. And then there's that understanding that exists between God the Father and the Spirit. There's a perfect understanding there. A perfect understanding. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Father knows the mind of the Spirit. He knows the desire and the meaning of the Spirit in the lives of the saints. The Father understands the groanings that cannot be uttered. He takes those sighs, the Holy Spirit does, that we sigh up a lot of times and interprets them to God. He reads the meaning of our desires and presents them to God. And when our feelings are so strong and our hearts are so burdened that we cannot pray, the Father looks down into our lives and He sees the Holy Spirit down there and the Holy Spirit makes known to Him exactly what we need. Oh, dear friend, to have such a person like this living within us that helps us pray, interprets our prayers, and pleads for us. Love beyond measure. When our hearts are so full that we cannot put into words our desires and needs, we're told here in this text, verse 26, that all the Spirit has to do is groan, and God understands. Has friends failed you? Feelings failed you? Everybody forsook you and fled? We can go to the Holy Spirit and pray through the Holy Spirit and pray in the Holy Spirit and He will take us up to God and He will not fail us. He that searcheth the heart and knoweth the mind of the Spirit. Dear friends, this should be encouragement to us. When we feel so weak that we cannot pray, when our hearts are so burdened, the Holy Spirit pleads in our behalf. And the Father knows the mind of the Spirit and He knows our needs. Then another thing that the Spirit does according to our text is He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice that. Makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Friends, when we draw near to God and we kneel down and we say, Lord, I want more love. Father, I need more zeal in my life. Lord, You see the need of faith that I have. Increase it. Lord, I look at Jesus and I see how much I am not like Him. Help me to become like Jesus. Father, I've committed this sin and I'm so ashamed of it and I need Your pardon. Father, I need the blood of Christ applied to me, to my life. When we pray those type of prayers, we can be assured that we're asking for things which are according to the will of God and He will not refuse to hear us. We don't need to be backward about praying this type of prayer. We can come with large requests, large desires. We can come and open our mouths wide and ask God for great things when we pray according to His will. The Spirit brings us to the throne of grace. God has many thrones. There's the throne of creation, the throne of redemption, the throne of judgment, and then there's the throne of mercy. The place of prayer that Christ has set up down here in the midst of the wilderness, in the land of the very enemy. And the God that sits on that's a God of grace. And the blessings that He gives are the gifts of grace. Pardon, justification, sanctification, all is all of grace. You know, God is so full of compassion and love and mercy. He doesn't need us to really shake Him to have Him to move. He gives us freely of His love and mercy because He loves us. So we can come freely through the Spirit to the throne of grace. What's our case? What's our burden? What's our sorrow? We can take it to God. And let me tell you for your encouragement that God has a secret place where He will come and He will meet you and nobody will see you but Him. No eye will see you, no ear will hear you but the Father's. And you can pour out the real needs of your heart, the real needs of your life. You can pour out your secrets into God's ears. Saints, God loves to hear your secrets. He loves to hear them. He delights in your confidence. And He'll honor you and bless you when you put your confidence in Him. You can go there and tell God things that you will never tell anybody else. And you can expect an answer. You can expect an answer. He will answer you. God, on many occasions, I will say the Father because I believe it to be the Father, has spoken in an audible voice to me. But I never will forget one night when I was praying for the salvation of my wife. I prayed and I prayed. And I began to plead and I began to beg God. I said, Lord, I don't want to be in heaven if my family's not there. And I poured out my heart to God and I was in earnest and I was praying in the Spirit. And as an audible voice as I'm speaking to you tonight, the Heavenly Father says, Son, I understand. And when I heard those words and I knew where they come from, I continued my prayer, but saints, I were not pleading and begging. I was saying, thank God for a prayer answering Father. Thank God that You love us and You're so concerned that You'll tell us You heard our prayers and You're going to do something about it. And in 1 week, my wife was converted. Saints of God, when we go before the Lord and we pray and we're earnest and we're sincere and the Holy Spirit moves and we just pour out everything before the Lord, He will move on our behalf. This throne of grace that He has erected for us, it's not way off somewhere where we have to travel a great deal. We don't have to go to a far country to reach the throne of grace. We don't have to go to England or to France to pray in the Spirit. When we're lying down, we can pray in the Spirit. When we're standing up, we can pray in the Spirit. Going in or coming out, in public or in private, God is everywhere. And wherever God is, there's the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit is, He's hearing our prayers. And He's taking them to a God that hears the prayers and answers the prayers. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our hearts can be lifted up to God. And sometimes all we can do is say, Oh God! And the prayer is answered. And our needs are met. Wherever we go, we carry the intercession of the Holy Spirit. He lives right within us. And wherever we go, He is continually interceding on our behalf before the Father. Continually protecting us from dangers that we know not of. Wherever we go, the Spirit is interceding here and Jesus is interceding in the heavenly sanctuary. And with a prayer like that, you can't beat it. With somebody like that on your side, you can't beat it. The throne of grace that the Spirit takes us to is a throne for the needy. And it's always a time of need for the child of God. There's not a moment in our life when if we knew our real state that we don't need something. And the throne of grace and the opportunity to pray in the Spirit is always open to us. Are you having trials? Then you have a need. Take it to Jesus. Pray in the Spirit. Your prayer will be heard. Is it a time in your life of spiritual darkness? You have a need. Pray in the Spirit. Take it to Jesus. Your prayer will be heard. Are you burdened? You have a need. Pray in the Spirit. Take it to Jesus, and your prayer will be heard. Thank God for such an opportunity. Thank God for such a Spirit. And also I say thank God, dear saints, for every opportunity. Thank God for every errand that takes you to the Spirit. Thank God for every errand that causes you to call on the Holy Spirit to help you pray. Whatever it is that causes you to go on your knees and plead your case before the Father is a great blessing in your life. It may be a heavy cross. It may be a painful burden. It may be a disappointment. Somebody in the church may have treated you wrong. But if it drives you to your knees in prayer and the Holy Spirit moves in and helps you to pray, it is a great blessing from God sent to you. Sometimes we say, well, I have no need, but there's Sister X in the church and she has her need. and I'll go and pray on her behalf. And that burden or that trial or that need that we carry to God on behalf of some other members of the family of God, it's been so heavy on our heart and we've carried their case before God. And many times when we're praying for somebody else, most of the time, yea, and I will say all of the time, when we are praying for somebody else, God comes in and pours out a blessing in our hearts because we were unselfish and pleading somebody else's case. Perhaps we prayed for the problems in the church. Perhaps we prayed for our minister that God would baptize him with the Holy Ghost and give him holy unction and holy boldness that he could preach the Word of God with truth. And saints, when we've been praying for our church or praying for our minister or praying for somebody else, when we've been knocking on the door of heaven through the Holy Ghost, then the Lord comes in and blesses our lives. Let everything that comes our way be a voice urging you to prayer. If you don't have any problems, somebody else does, and you go to prayer on their behalf, and God will do something for you. If you don't have any cross to bear, somebody else does, and you go to prayer on their behalf and pray in the Holy Spirit, and God will do something for you. The prayer and petition that you send up on the behalf of other people will return to you with a greater blessing. Every occasion should be an opportunity for us to use the Holy Spirit and to pray in the Holy Spirit, because that is the only way for us to grow in grace and grace to grow in us. Dear saints, when we come before the Lord praying in the Holy Spirit, we are dear to Him. Our voice is the most sweetest words He's ever heard. We can come to Him with all our requests, all our wants, all our needs. We can ask anything we want to, praying in the Spirit, and it will be granted. We can say, Lord, I need more of the power of God. And the Father says, child, I'll take you at your word, and He pours out a rich blessing on us. We can say, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus. And the Father says, child, I'll take you at your word, and He sends us through trials and tribulations that makes us more like Jesus and draws us closer up. We can say, Lord, I want wisdom to witness and to testify to others. And the Lord will say, child, I take you at your word. And He fills you with the Holy Ghost, and He fills you with holy boldness, and He sends you out to do His work and His will. It doesn't matter what the need we have. If we come before the Lord praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, conscious of our needs, it will be granted. The Lord will give us the desires of our heart. Lastly, pray expectantly, diligently, and persevering. Saints, every time you go to prayer, you are to look for an answer. Be as much assured that as you have asked, God will answer. Ask in faith. Watch daily for the answer. Look for it any way and through any providence. Don't look for it to come in a way that you've got figured out, but just let the joy of the Lord, so to speak, be in your heart in such a way as to say, I wonder what way the Lord is going to bless me. And to look for the Lord to bless you in any way. We don't know when the answer will come or in what way, but it will come in the Lord's way, in the Lord's time, and it'll just bless our hearts when it comes. Yes, saints, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Yes, saints, we can come through the Spirit with our crosses, with our infirmities, with our guilt, with our wants, with our wounded spirits, our broken hearts. We can come and pray in the Spirit and be welcome. Come without price. Come without worthiness. Come without preparation. Come without witness. Come because the Spirit bids us to come. We are welcome. The author of prayer, the Holy Spirit, will move in our life on our behalf, and we will be able to pray effective prayers in and through and by the Spirit. Shall we pray? Dear Father, help us to realize the great need that each one of us has of praying in and with the Spirit. Help us to realize the great need that we have of more of the power of God, that we need to be daily baptized with the Holy Ghost, and that our mind should be clear so that when the Spirit speaks to us, we will be aware of what He is saying and the needs that He presses upon our lives, that we will realize that they are our needs. Help us, Father, to come boldly to the throne of grace through the Spirit who makes intercession for us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Along the line of praying for folk, I never realized how much ministers need prayer until I began to travel and I saw the need, you know, in my own life. And I went back to my wife and I told her, I said, we've been failing in our morning worship. And she says, what do you mean, failing in our morning worship? We have family worship every morning and every evening in our home. Great blessing the Lord has given us. And I said, we've been failing to pray for the pastor. And I told her, I said, God being our helper, I said, every morning when we have our worship, I said, our pastor's name will be called out for God's blessing to be on him that day. And pastor didn't tell me to get up and say this, but saints, you ought to be doing the same thing for this man. You don't know from day to day what he faces. You don't know from day to day the burdens that's on his heart for your blessing and the salvation of other people. You don't know from day to day the face-to-face encounters with Satan and satanic powers that the ministers face. And they are humans. We fail to realize that. I told my pastor a couple of weeks ago, I said, Pastor, I never really realized that you're a human being just like I am and you have the same problems and the same burdens that I did. I thought you were a saint. And I said, I just realized that you not only have your own problems, but you have everybody's in the church piled on top of you. And I said, my, you do need our prayers. And he took me by the hand with tears in his eyes. And he said, the greatest thing that a church member can do for me is to pray for me. And every minister will tell you the same thing. The greatest thing church members can do for me is to pray for me daily. So you want to see great things done in the life of your pastor and in this church, every morning you pray for him. And for the Holy Ghost to be with him that day and empower him and to strengthen him for the task that he faces. And then get out of the way and watch God work. Well, I have enjoyed being here this weekend. As I said, I always enjoy being with God's people. I find the family of God the same everywhere I go. Loving and kind and all with one desire to finish the work and go home. And I want to challenge you as I leave to join with me in finishing the work. There's a statement from Volume 9, I believe, of the Testimonies. I believe it's page 107. Where the servant of the Lord says, God will do the work if we provide the instruments. Are you willing to be an instrument in the hands of God? He'll do the work through you. You won't have to do a thing. You just be the instrument. And the work will be finished and we can all go home. And the song that they sing, it's maybe not really a nice song, but I like it in the sense that it says, home is where I want to be. And that's where I want to be with Jesus, and I'm sure you do too. So join with me in doing whatever the Lord sends your way. Do it. That may be the very thing that needs to be done for the finishing of the work and bringing Jesus back. So let's all finish the work where we can go home and be forever up there. And you're going to have to stand in line behind me because I'm going to worship Jesus for about 15 million years, bow at His feet and thank Him and love Him, and look in His face for 15 or 20 million years, and then you can stand in line and come behind me if you can wait that long. But I want to be there and worship Him and glorify Him because He's done so much for me. As I said, you do not know anywhere near half of what God has done, but I do. I know what God has done, and my heart breaks sometimes as I say, God, why did You do this for me? I'm not worthy of it. But then He says, if You'd been the only one there was, I would have done it anyway. Because I love You and the whole world with the same love. And I want all of you saved and in my kingdom. And when my heart breaks like that and I say, God, why did You do it? And He says, because of love. And then I bow at His feet and praise His name and glorify His name. But I want to do it face to face.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.